Death is the most problematic enemy for the priesthood. As it is also in priesthood, what is in the end the most problem? The death is the biggest problem, right? That finalizes, that finishes off our life. And every man is said to die once. And as soon as a man dies, he cannot do anything anymore. He cannot taste, he cannot speak, he cannot feel anything. All these things are taken away by death. So death is like the last enemy, the last enemy of human life. And this is a physical death, but there's also a spiritual death. And there it is, the same principle. If you're dead, spiritual, you cannot speak, your voice is gone. I think everybody of us had this experience. You cannot speak for God, you cannot praise the Lord. You have no more taste in your mouth. You have no appetite. For the word of God does not taste. Taste is dead. Hearing. Spiritual death. You can't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. And there's so many examples in the scripture of people who could not hear the voice of the Lord anymore because there was spiritual death. Even if you look in Revelation, the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, they didn't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. We have several examples there. It shows this spiritual death. And you see even the if I am spiritual death, I don't see clear the vision anymore. I go some direction and I will end up in the broad way and I will not meet the goal. I will not, get the goal. That's why 1 Corinthians says death is the last enemy. That's interesting what Paul mentions here. He says it's the last enemy. He had so much experience. And it is, physically, death is the last thing that comes in man's life. But spiritual is also death. And especially when the Lord wants to come back. Now, at the end, is Satan. What he wants to do, what he wants to use to stop the people of God, to bring them to fall, that is the spiritual death. That's what he wants to use. And if the Lord renewed our vision, what would you do if you're the enemy against that? I would try to do exactly what happens physically with death. Close their eyes. Close their ears that they don't understand and hear. Their ears should not hear the voice of the Lord. Then they will not reach the goal. That's what the enemy is trying to do. Therefore, especially for the priests in Leviticus, the Lord gave Leviticus 21, verse 1. Leviticus to the priests, he speaks to the priests, the sons of Aaron. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the son of Aaron. He shouldn't speak to somebody, but here it's really a to the priests. What does he say? None shall defile himself for the dead among his people. This is Leviticus 21, verse 1. Together. The sons of Aaron say to them, no one shall defile himself for a dead person among his people. Yeah. Speak to the priests and say to them, none shall defile himself for a dead person among his people. For the dead among his people. Yeah. It's true. This is in God's heart that the priests will keep this commandment. This is written in the book for the priests, right? Leviticus. And it is no exception. No one of you. Doesn't say only half of you or some of you or the. No. No one. Why? Because they serve him. They serve the Lord, and this cannot be acceptable for God if somebody touches death and then comes forward to him. This is a problem. It's a problem not only for God, but much more for us. Therefore, we want to learn in this weekend to see that there is not only a commandment, but also a way for us. He doesn't only say, do not do this, but he also gives us the way how we can also get out of all this death. There we see the practical, physical shadow picture, and today we want to grasp the reality of it. So, yeah, death really lames us that we cannot go on. It doesn't stop us to do other things. And when you're very active with your spiritual death, you can do so much, but the things of God are not going on anymore.
It's too loud, or that?
Okay, I hope the translation is good. They say the line is not so good, but try our best. So, the enemy, yeah, does a lot, you know, outwardly. He wants to destroy us, but that doesn't work. You know, outwardly, if there are attacks on the priesthood, we had an article written about us that are against the church and even against the plan of the Lord. But, or now there's an article in the newspaper that want to defame us, but that does not destroy the testimony of God. That even makes us stronger. We started to pray. And many attacks outwardly, they even make us stronger. If we're in spirit, we are bold. But spiritual death is something else. That really stops the going on. If the enemy is successful bringing this stuff in, going in between the plan of the Lord, like in this example of the devil's comet, coming in between the arrangement of the Lord. This is really something that stops. If you are a dead stone, the Lord cannot build his living house. The house of the Lord is a living house, and we have to be living. Therefore, he needs living stones to get to his goal. Ephesians 5 says, it became much more clear to me here in Ephesians 5 that death defiles us. Verse 25 in Ephesians 5 or 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with washing of the water by the word. And the reason is that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The church can only be glorious if it's washed with this pure water. This cleansing water is so important. This is a goal of this short conference, that we are more aware about spiritual death and understand how to cleanse. Everybody has so much to do in his daily life, at work, with the family, the children, or in school, wherever you are. There's so many daily situations. And I realize it is important to really be aware that we don't touch death, but that we stay in life. Therefore, we want to look at these examples. Where does death come from? To learn from it. Not to read it and say, okay, now I understood it. No, we want to read it to apply it. Take it to your heart and apply it in your life. What is of this in my life? Lord, I want to repent here. I see there's death coming in. And maybe we can go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Paul says here, that we should be serious with these examples. Not say, okay, this is the Old Testament, these cows don't have to do anything with us. These stories. No, it has to do much more than we often understand or accept. This verse we can read, but the whole chapter is about the examples of the people of Israel in the desert. What they did. Moses brought them all, baptized them into the Red Sea, and they ate all of the same food. So he speaks about them, but then he says, the most of them, God was not pleased. But these things happened to us as examples that we and were written for our admonition, that we do not do the same, that we learn. Verse 11. I'll read it together. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. The end of the age has come. These things happen to them as an example for us. These things happened to them for us as example. They are for our admonition, written for us. It's a warning. By warning, you can learn more than by the good, nice stories. Of course, can be also good, but I especially can learn by things that went wrong, by warning and admonition. And it's written for who? For those who the ends of the age have come. This verse got so new to me. At the end of the time, this warning is even more important for us now. For us. That's why it's good to take this admonishing, this warning for us. So let's read it, this admonishing, this story. So some verses from chapter 11 from Numbers. Numbers, the fourth book of Moses, is chapter 11. And it's about where the people complain. Genesis 11, 1 to 6. Let's read it together. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outer skirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. When Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intensicavi. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Craving. The people complained, murmured. How often do you complain? I have to confess, I sometimes complain or murmur. Especially in the church life, often things are not according to what you wanted, and you murmur. How do you react? That's the question. It starts with the children, right? The small ones, they murmur. From the smallest, it comes in and it goes to the oldest. It starts early, but it never stops. It shows it's very deep in us. And the people of God, to have this, is not the heathens we're speaking about, it's the people of God that are murmuring, complaining, and even a lot. When the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. Arose, so the fire of the Lord burned among them. We see the Lord didn't like this at all. It was evil in his eyes. And then verse 4 says, the mixed multitude, the people that walked to them, they became lusted exceedingly, yielded to intensive craving. The mixed multitude is those people that belong to other gods, says in the appendix. They were external. They were mixed, and this brought in lust. And then the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? The lust of the flesh comes from outward inside. It was brought from outward and comes in. So we have to take care what comes from outside, from the world, even the religion, what comes in to the church. We already had fellowship that there are a lot of things we have to be careful and be aware. One point I want to emphasize is, who will give us meat to eat? This is in the heart, deep in the heart. Who? Why do not they look to the Lord? Why do they murmur? Why don't they come to the Lord? He gave them already the manna, heavenly food, not just something. He gave them the best heavenly food directly from God. But then they ask, who will give us meat to eat? And this comes from their flesh. And what does it mean for us today? It really shows how fallen our flesh is. In our flesh there's nothing good, and the lust of the flesh is a big problem. And in the end of the chapter, it's written, what is the end of that? What is the result? What is the result here? They think back on the food of Egypt, the cucumbers and the fish and the melons and the onions and the garlic. They all have this in their head, what they ate in Egypt. Interesting, right? After so long time, they can remember exactly. They didn't forget. It seems to be really deep into their heart, head. Onions and garlic. They know this taste. This picture shows that in the heart they're still there. They left everything back. They would not long so much for this list. They will not have this list so much in their heart. Are these sins actually? Cucumbers, melons, onions, leeks, garlic. There's no sin, but it shows there's this lust. Here the problem is they have a lust of the flesh. I cannot forget what is behind. Like Paul says, I continually forget what is behind and chasing after that what is front. We really have to see, we have to forget. The people of Israel, they did not continually leave the things behind and go forward. If my mind is still so much looking back to things, how can I serve as priest? Especially the example of the Lord's wife, right? She looked back and what happened? Death came in immediately. Verse 21 shows us the number is big. 600,000 people were complaining. They want to have meat. I ask myself, how is my condition? Am I hungry for the Lord's word? But it says the manna was like coriander seed. They have been filled and they were not hungry for manna anymore. But today the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are hungry, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is very important, to be not fed up with the manna. How hungry are you still for the pure word of the Lord? Or are you already hungry for other things? Also, the point is here, they lost the faith in the Lord. There was unbelief because they look back and they say, Lord. They don't even say Lord. They tell to the people what they would like to have. They don't believe that what the Lord gives them will be for their salvation. It's not enough for them. Showing unbelief, even an evil heart of unbelief, that's the point. The people do not trust in their Lord and have not acknowledged Him as the one who can give. Else they would have a much more much more respect and longing for this great manna the Lord gave them. And to jump to the end of the chapter is really bad, you know. The Lord even gives them their desire. He sends them these small birds. And they come in, and there's so much of them. Yeah. So he gave them the food. And here they could have also repented. They could have seen it. Verse 33, while the meat was still between their teeth, therefore it was chewed. Before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with every silver plague. With a very great plague, says this translation. And they buried the people. Yeah. And they called the name of the place Kirbot Harad, because they buried the people who had yielded, who had lusted, who has lusted. Yeah, the Lord had to send in a great plague. That was not good. That shows in the end of the chapter there's death. Because they were hungry. They were lusted for this hunger. And they didn't repent. James 1:15 says, if the lust is there, then it brings forth sin. May we read together this verse in James. James 1 verse 15. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But each one is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away by his own desires and anxieties. Anxieties and own lusts. These people were full of lust. And then the sin came. And the sin, full grown, brings forth death. And this was very heavily. And they're put into graves. The dead people, where do they go? In the grave. So the people of God were decimated. They became less. Showing the result. What is the result? There are less people serving God, less people going with God from God's people, because they lusted, and the end there's death, and they're not available. This is why this warning is for us, that we are serious, especially these lust graves. Bury the people who lost it. In German, they translate it directly, and it's lost graves. This is really a strong point. The Lord has to show us we are hungry for the lust of the world. What happens? The lust of Egypt. Then in the end there are less stones available for the Lord to build up, because he needs the living stones to build up. And we want to continue with the other examples that are also for admonishing and warnings for us. Maybe this meeting is not so positive for us now, but it's important to see that we are cautious in our spiritual life, not loose with this world and take it into our heart, to react that we are in similar situations where the lust of the world catches you, and with this, without knowing, spiritual death comes in. Especially in the end. Yeah, we want to see also how the Lord will solve this problem. Lord, work in us. We don't want to do anything by the lust of the flesh. But show us where the death comes from. Let us learn, Lord. We repent. Where our hearts desire things in Egypt, Lord, take care of our heart. Our lust is for you, Lord. You are our joy. Lord, you are... Yeah, this is the wrong turn. Lord, we want to put everything aside and search you. Give us heavenly food, Lord. Lord Jesus. We do not want to be desiring for all that food. Thank you, you gave us the best food. Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, shine your light. Lord, we want to give all our flesh into death. Amen. Lord, take away everything that is not well-pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. We have heard that we have to fight the last enemy, which is the death. The last enemy tries to go especially against the priests, to defile them. because the priests are busy serving God. God gave us this service to serve Him in the holy place. And when they had to go in, they also had to cleanse. And the old man has to be crucified. Flesh and sin and everything has to be dealt with before they can go into the holy place. And we need this awareness. We are priests. And we are serving on the holy vessels and the holy things. So we have to have a fear to not do something for the Lord with being unclean, unholy. But everything what we do must bring forth life. Our service, what you do, has to really be well pleasing to God. And I had one example, King Saul. I think most of you know the story where God was there and he wanted to bring something to God. He was fighting against the Amalek and God told him he should put the ban on them, erase all the cattle and everything. He should completely annihilate them. But what did Saul do? Unfortunately, he took the best and did not kill it. But he kept it and then he thought, well, I'll bring it for God. He was not obedient to the Lord in this. So the worthless he killed immediately, but the good things, the best sheep and the best cattle, he kept. And then he even thought, okay, I'll keep them, but I'll offer them for God. But we see this is not well pleasing to God. He was not obedient to His voice. And disobedience brings forth death. If we're not obedient to God and don't serve Him, in the end it has a damage. In the end it costs Him His position as king. So I'm reading to you Samuel. Samuel spoke to Saul. Does God have the same? See, obedience is better. Obedience is better than bringing offerings, than bringing something. You know, when Saul saw these animals, for sure he has his lust on them. Such a big reward, such a big thing. He didn't want to crucify the flesh. Surely it was his own honor, you can see in the story. He always looks for his own honor. Wow, what did he get? And what is he bringing to God? But if we serve as priests to the Lord, we have to crucify our flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Yeah. We have to listen to what the Lord says. And it says he should not be king. Why? Because he was disobedient. This is a warning. A good word for you. That when the Lord wants to come back soon, we should not miss the goal to rule with Him. That's your goal. I had a situation where I realized how fast it goes that we just do something for the Lord without Him. One day there were two options to be with the saints, and I said, I'm gonna go with them. But then another thing came in. The other said, we're going here and there. And I had the lust, oh, this sounds much better. I would like to go there with the saints. But when I remembered this word of Saul, I realized, oh, my heart is too much on that to do the other thing. I cannot serve the Lord with half a heart. I really have to serve Him with full heart. So myself would like to go more there. But then I told to the Lord, I give you my whole heart. I want to serve you with my whole heart. And then it was really good. This day with the saints in the other place, it was a blessing. It's so good to be obedient to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a well of life to save us from the trap, says Proverbs. It's good if the death is exposed. We see in Leviticus that we have to cleanse us from all death very strong. Therefore, it's good and important that the death is exposed. We have read Numbers 11, and we see there's more death. If you continue in chapter 12, there's even more death. And you see, after all this death, you need chapter 19, this red heifer that really cleanses them from the death. Maybe it's not so nice to speak about this, but it's really healthy for us to see what brings forth this death, that we don't touch it. And if we touch it, we can cleanse our hearts and sanctify it. I just want to bring one more point in here. If you continue in chapter 12 in Numbers, in 11, the people are murmuring, complaining. And in chapter 12, they continue. Miriam and Aaron complained against Moses, spoke against them because of the Cushite woman or Ethiopian woman he married. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And if you read this chapter on in the end, you see what happens. But what do? Miriam and Aaron, they speak against, they complain. Why? It looks like they speak because of his wife. And then they ask, does the Lord only speak through Moses? What has one to do with the other? Moses has a wife. His wife is from Cushit. And then they ask, does God only speak to you, not also to us? And the Lord hears. The point shows Miriam and Aaron, they had something in their heart. And there was a situation, and then something came out of their heart. There was a situation. Surely they spoke, Miriam and Aaron, against Moses. And then, what is in their heart? Comes out. And God actually really exposes what is in Miriam, in her heart. Because Miriam gets leprous, white like snow. And if Moses did not ask for her, she would have died. But Moses has such a compassion, a heart. He was the humblest man on earth. He started to pray for Miriam. And after 7 days, God healed Miriam. But what do we see? It's not a small matter if things are in our heart against the matter of the Lord and against the saints, the brothers and sisters. If that is not dealt with and stays in your heart, one day it will come out that there's death. And we also realize this. Many years, sometimes we had the situations that since many years there's a problem. We should not accept this. If there's something like that, we really have to come to the Lord and cleanse our heart from all these things. Else there will be sickness and things come out. You know, with Miriam, her sickness came out, what was in her heart, so he had to leave. She had to go outside of the camp, and the whole camp had to wait until Miriam was healthy. Only when she was healthy and came back, then they could go on. But the people couldn't go on when Miriam was still out of the camp. What does that show us? Such things stop the work of the Lord. If things are in your heart, if you are against brothers and sisters, against the Lord, you speak it out and you don't deal with it. What happens? You are against the Lord, against his whole work, cannot go on stopping. You're stopping him to go on. Don't think this is a small matter. We realized this already. We had experience like that in our past, and we cannot have this again. We have to bring it to the Lord. Lord, let nothing stay in our heart. Showing the Lord has set each and every one of us. Aaron and Miriam, they stood before the Lord. God called Aaron and God called Moses. He called both of them, right? But then you see, something was in their heart. God called also Miriam, but they had something in their heart what was not okay. They wanted to have a higher position. There was envy in their heart. Envy. This we cannot have among us. We're not here to have a higher position than somebody. I'm not here to be somebody. In the world, it's like that. Everybody wants to express something. But in the house of the Lord, we are all called as priests. But He put us all to our place. He made each and every one of us as we are, as we should be before Him. But if you start to try to be something in the church, I want to have this position, then what comes in? Death. That's from the enemy. This is a sickness. And this sickness destroys the work of the Lord, the going on of the Lord. May the Lord protect us from such things that it did not enter your heart. Think of Miriam. She wants to have a position and it comes out what is in her heart. It's leprosy. Not a small matter. What we also had and we should take from this evening, right? The death, as Manuel said, the death is the final